happiness and shame.
This is USA Radio News.
Look, you've heard me talking for a year about how much I love MyPillow. You can get one, too. And now it's a better deal than ever. You go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, use promo code USA. You'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price plus shipping. And don't forget, now you have until March 1st to return it if you're not absolutely in love with it. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. But do it now.
An outgoing U.S. Senate Democrat giving her farewell speech on the Senate floor yesterday, and Claire McCaskill said the chamber is broken and should do some self-examination.
The United States Senate is no longer the world's greatest deliberative body, and everybody needs to quit saying it. Until we recover from this period of polarization and the fear of the political consequences of tough votes.
A frequent Republican critic of President Trump also saying goodbye to the Senate and Washington yesterday. That story from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
In his final speech on the Senate floor, Arizona Republican Jeff Flake warned that the threats to America's democracy are real.
This is not a normal time, and that the threats to our democracy from within and without are real. And none of us can say with confidence how the situation that we now find ourselves in will turn out.
Flake says, though, he will always cherish his time in the Senate.
I leave here grateful and optimistic. I will always treasure the friendships that began here and the kindnesses shown to me and my family by all of you, my colleagues.
And we're getting word that consumer spending was picking up steam last month. The Commerce Department saying that retail sales surged 0.2%, double the rate economists were expecting, and the increase in core retail sales and upward revisions to figures for October raise expectations for a December rate hike by the Federal Reserve. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnsspeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Ben is Back, Vox Lux, Mowgli, The Legend of the Jungle, Dumplin', and Divide and Conquer, The Rise and Fall of Roger Ailes. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup featuring Mission Impossible Fallout. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/kevincarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
The first news that I really want to talk about is the Golden Globe nominations, which came out on Thursday. And as much as everybody else notices, I recognize that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is a small little nothing group that is, what, about 100 members, and I don't even know what it takes to get in there. But they tend to be a good precursor to the Oscars. This is the real first big award show that gives the nominations out. Of course, we got Critics' Choice coming up next weekend, the nominations, which I vote in. And then, of course, the Oscars come after the new year. But I've been saying this for a while. There's no real front runner. There is no film that like gobbled up like 10 nominations. I think the most was Vice, which got 6, which is a good number of nominations. And even like Green Book and A Star Is Born each got 5, like when you throw in like soundtrack issues. But none of them were getting the double-digit award nominations. And I love the fact that Can You Ever Forgive Me? You got Richard E. Grant getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination. But I think there's some other takeaways that we have. What's interesting is both Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born were nominated for Best Picture in the drama category, which kind of is surprising because those are both essentially musicals. They're not musicals in the Busby Berkeley sense, but they're certainly musical films. They're musical dramas. And the fact that they put them in the dramatic category means that they give it a more respect. The musical and comedy category is kind of a throwaway category for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And I don't know why they still break that out. They should just do Best Picture, yes or no. Because they do Best Director as just the single person. Speaking of Best Director, those 5 films that got Best Director nominations in the Golden Globes, A Star Is Born, Roma, Green Book, BlacKkKlansman, and Vice, I think that's a good bead on what you're going to see at the Oscars and other award shows. Those seem to be the ones that are bubbling up to the top. What's interesting is for the past several years, there have been a lot of criticisms of lack of diversity in your award shows. But this one, it was actually a great show for diverse artists. I mean, Black Panther got a nomination for Best Picture and, of course, some soundtrack stuff. It didn't get Best Director or any acting awards, but it got a nomination for Best Picture. And that's a big deal because that's one of the biggest grossing movies of 2018. Also, BlacKkKlansman, Spike Lee's best film since Malcolm X, and If Beale Street Could Talk, the new film by Barry Jenkins, Crazy Rich Asians got a couple nominations. It is a good year for diversity in the Golden Globes. And even on that note, you also had Roma getting some traction. And like Mudbound last year and Beasts of No Nation like 3 years ago, Roma is a Netflix release that they're really pushing. And this actually is the one that I think is going to push it over the edge. Mudbound didn't perform as well last year in the final voting. But I think Roma is up there in terms of the one to beat. And it's also a diverse film. It takes place in Mexico. It's in Spanish and native language, and it's directed by a Mexican expatriate. In terms of snubs, I'd say that the big ones I think people are talking about are Widows and First Reformed and The Hate U Give. All people feel that they got snubbed. Ryan Gosling didn't get anything for First Man. I think that it's just First Man kind of just lost some traction. That's the danger of releasing something in September or even October. And then A Quiet Place, ironically, got Score for a movie with such a title. Now, what's interesting, dovetailing this discussion from the Golden Globes into the Oscars, Kevin Hart has pulled a Scaramucci and has the shortest-lived career as an Oscar host. He basically was the Oscar host for like 2 days. He wasn't even writing the jokes yet, and he has already bowed out. And this is because these tweets got resurfaced that were homophobic tweets, that were anti-gay tweets. And then some of them are pretty caustic. Now, I'm all for people saying, look, you know, you did that 10 years ago or whatever. You apologize, get over it, change. That was the base of my whole support of James Gunn, saying, hey, he did that years ago, and he's changed his behavior, and he's not done it since. The thing with Kevin Hart is, first of all, he said he wasn't going to apologize. And there's a certain, don't just apologize, and that doesn't always make it better. It certainly didn't work for Roseanne. But I think it was probably a smart PR move for Kevin Hart to just bow out, because this was not going to end well for him. There's nothing you can do, because the other problem was it wasn't just these tweets. You can go back and watch Get Hard, which is a movie he did with Will Ferrell, which had some arguably homophobic issues in it. There was also his live show, Kevin Hart What Now, which has some homophobic stuff in the comedy set. So this is not an isolated incident for Kevin Hart. And I think it makes a difference because it's the Oscars. If it was the Super Bowl, I don't think it would have made as much of a difference, because the gay community is not into the Super Bowl. The gay community is certainly into the Oscars. I have a gay friend who tweeted out, he's like, who do you think watches the Oscars? But here's the thing that people complain, oh, the people are too sensitive and you should just get over it, deal with it. My rule is, if you have either, you know, policy or law or jokes that target a certain group of people, you got to listen to what those people say, whether or not it's good. Do not ask the straight guy if the homophobic comments offend him, because they can say, oh, it doesn't bother me. Ask the gay people. If gay people are offended by it or take issue with it, then maybe it's homophobic. If you have a racially insensitive joke, don't ask the white guy if they think it's okay. Ask the black people, say, is this going too far? I think what needs to happen now is there needs to be a consultant company. This is a great idea for a business, by the way. You need to just have a consultant company that only does online vetting. And what they do is, if you're ever going to get an Oscar host or a movie director or somebody who's going to run a TV show or be on a family sitcom, you can fully vet their social media. Set that up. You're going to make a lot of money. I'll get the check in the mail when it goes through. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. No, I'm not going to talk about the Avengers. I'm sorry. I am not watching those trailers every year. There's a movie or two that I want to avoid like the plague because trailers are so spoilery. One that is Avenger related. It's Avengers adjacent. Let's look at the new Captain Marvel trailer.
Would you like to know what you really are?
I think I had a life here.
What aren't you telling me?
You've come a long way, but you're not as strong as you think. This war is just the beginning.
I'm not going to fight your war. I'm going to end it.
This opens on March 8th, and I'm getting more excited about this. This looks like it's going to be one heck of a movie. I think Brie Larson, I think she's a good enough actor. I don't think you see much of her performance in this. I think she's sort of dull in the trailer, but I'm hoping that there's going to be a little more meat in the non-action scenes. But this looks really cool. I'm looking forward to this one. This looks like it's really going outside of the box and can be a fun superhero movie for a character that nobody knows anything about. The next one I want to hit really quickly is Happy Death Day to You, which opens on February 14th.
The day reset when you died. Right?
Yeah.
I might be able to help with that. I died 11 times. I was stuck reliving the same day over and over again until someone wearing a baby mask murdered me on the night of my birthday. I thought it ended the loop, but I'm back. Oh my God. Everything's different. This time, it's coming after all of us.
If you don't reset the day and try again, they're dead for good, aren't they?
So I'm gonna have to die over and over again to save all of you.
I thought the first Happy Death Day was a lot of fun. This one looks like it's going to be equally a lot of fun. And I like the fact that they're still spinning off and enjoying the silliness. And there's a wink and a nod to the audience that this movie is a gimmick. Now I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about new films for Netflix, which include Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, and Dumplin'.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. Numerically, that's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the movie reviews. No new movies. There's no new wide releases. Whatever's out there last week is what you're stuck with in the theaters this week. Oh, there's one. They're releasing Schindler's List. They're re-releasing that in the theaters because it's the 25th anniversary, and it's like in 1,000 or so theaters. And that's a great movie. I absolutely love Schindler's List. It's a powerful, impactful, relevant, great, well-done movie. With that said, I don't particularly want to see it again because it's harrowing and tough to get through. It is a depressing and hard movie to make it through, but it's a brilliant film. So if you've never seen Schindler's List, now's your chance to see it on the big screen. It's definitely worth seeing. Like I said, I just have trouble wanting to watch it again because it's a tough ride. But other than that, I'm going to be talking about a couple releases in the next segment, and those are limited ones. So they're going to get buried in the next couple weeks, which is why I'm going to talk about them this week. But right now, the big releases this week, it seems to be a bigger release on Netflix. Netflix is really throwing down behind their original movies, and they're trying to become a content creator specifically rather than somebody who just libraries the other content from other studios. The first one I want to hit is Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, drops this weekend on Netflix. Andy Serkis directs his live-action CGI adaptation of Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book.
Akira, why am I different?
You are special, little brother.
You've got hands, so let's use them. Jump!
Out of my way!
I shouldn't let them pick on me like that.
Wolves are supposed to be with other wolves.
He's not a wolf.
I've seen the way you look at the village. Mowgli,
you are one of them.
I know that Jon Favreau directed the CGI version of The Jungle Book a couple years ago, and this was originally supposed to come out around that time, but I think they wisely decided not to give it a theatrical release, move it to Netflix, and that way it wouldn't compete too much. Now, there's no way to watch this movie and talk about it without comparing it not just to The Jungle Book movie that Jon Favreau did a couple years ago, but to the original animated Jungle Book from Disney, because that's what most people know when they see The Jungle Book. I've never read The Jungle Book. I've seen the movies. With that said, this is a little bit more of a grown-up version of it. It's still something that I think you could arguably watch with kids, but it's got some violent stuff in it. It's a harder edge to it. And it's a neat alternative take on The Jungle Book. It doesn't have the big song and dance numbers. The animals aren't as cute. I mean, Baloo is a little bit of a harder sell. He's not just this lovable little bear who's singing about the bear necessities. He's still a goofy friend of Mowgli's. But there's some stuff that happens in this movie that I thought, if I were watching it with I wouldn't watch it with a little kid, because you're going to have the kid in tears. You know, this is kind of a older PG movie. It's not quite PG-13, but it's yeah, I don't just say, hey, it's got fuzzy animals, let's watch it. But in that sense, it's an interesting movie. The special effects aren't as good as the Disney version, because I don't think it's as big of a budget. Andy Serkis is best known for playing characters like Gollum and in the Planet of the Apes movies. He's a mocap actor. And in doing this, he's directing CGI characters as well. I saw his movie Breathe last year, which was a live-action movie. It was not a mocap movie at all. And it was about the guy who created the self-propelled wheelchair. That one I wasn't very impressed with. I think it very much felt like a first movie that he was still getting his feet wet. This one feels a little more composed. And I think a lot of this has to be put together in the computer. So there's a lot more leeway once the stuff ends up on film or once it's shot. Still, the Mowgli movie isn't as good as the other Jungle Book films, partly because you're conditioned to want to see that other stuff. Like when the humans show up in this movie, it kind of takes a different turn, and it's not as good. Its strengths is in the beginning when it's Mowgli with the jungle animals, and they do have some interesting stuff, and they make some interesting choices. But it's essentially, it's a Tarzan movie. That's what the Jungle Book is. It's Tarzan. It's an Indian version of Tarzan. But still, I'm going to have to say, if you got Netflix, check this one out. It's an interesting movie. Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Dumplin'. Danielle McDonald stars as an overweight daughter of a beauty queen who decides to enter a local pageant as a protest.
My name is Willadane Dixon.
Hey, Willadane.
Hi, both.
Tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen.
Most people call me Will, except for my mom, who calls me...
Dumplin', I can't be late. This cannot exactly drive itself.
Being a bit of a celebrity around here meant that she was too busy for me.
And that's when I decided enough was enough.
I know that look. What's going on?
I think I'm going to sign up for the pageant.
It's going to be like a protest in heels.
Danielle McDonald is most recognizable to a lot of people from being in the movie Patty Cakes, where she was the rapper. And she was great in that movie. She's kind of what made that movie work. The movie itself I wasn't a big fan of, but I liked her in it. She is what makes this movie work. Jennifer Aniston plays her mom, and I think Jennifer Aniston does a fine job. It's just that's not where the meat of the movie is. The meat of the movie is with his character. Now, it's based on a young adult book, and it's, you know, like I said, it deals with body issues and self-esteem and self-worth and a lot of stuff that is a very typical young adult material. And I'll tell you, I got a screener for this because it's an award season push, and it actually got a nomination for song in the Golden Globes. I got the screener, and I looked at it, I go, oh, God, this thing looks awful. Sometimes you get these screeners come across your desk, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to watch this. This looks terrible. And so I was dragging my feet. And then finally I watched it, and you know, doggone it, if this thing just didn't capture my heart. It's predictable. It's cliche. It's corny at times, but you know what's really effectively done? It's a sweet little movie. And Danielle McDonald certainly, she certainly carries it. She does a great job in the movie. And even with Jennifer Aniston, who's by far not my favorite, and I think she's the best when she's like a villain, and she's not really a villain in this one. She's basically a woman who won the beauty contest when she was younger and has never left the beauty contest. And she has a crappy job where she works at a nursing home, but her little claim to fame in this small Texas town is that she is a beauty queen royalty, basically. And she didn't have a daughter who necessarily fit in those footsteps. I think this manages to point out the problems with beauty pageants while being sensitive to the people who do them as well. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Miss Congeniality, that movie with Sandra Bullock, where she had a pose as a beauty queen. This is it's a sweet movie, and its heart's in the right place. Like I said, it's predictable and it's corny, but doggone it, if it's not a charming little film. And I think it's something that like a family with teenagers could watch on Netflix. Like I said, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this one. So I'm going to have to say that Dumpling, much to my surprise, kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about the limited release films Ben is Back and Vox Lox.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Days after being sentenced to 3 years in prison for tax and bank fraud, lying to Congress, and campaign finance violations, the president's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, breaks his silence.
I gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty.
He was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
Correct.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
Speaking there to George Stephanopoulos on ABC's Good Morning America, now White House spokesman Hogan Gidley says nobody should trust a word Cohen says.
He's a self-admitted liar. You guys all know that. And for him to say, I'm going to stop lying now, is somewhat silly.
Students have been sent home for the day at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, after a threat was received on this anniversary of the 2012 shooting massacre there. And this is USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews. Now, these are new movies. They're opening like in four or five theaters in like New York and L.A. So for most people who are listening to this around the country, these you can't go to the theater and see these yet. You may be able to go see in a couple weeks, but also in a couple weeks, there's going to be a deluge of movies. So I want to get these out now and talk about them while they're in technically in release. And then if you want to check them out later, you can. The first one is Ben is Back. Julia Roberts stars as a mother whose son returns from rehab on Christmas Eve and throws the family into turmoil.
Did you see? He's gained some weight and he's got the sparkle back in his eyes. He's clearly doing better.
Well, then why are you hiding everything?
We said we weren't going to do this again. Remember?
I agree. If it weren't Christmas...
You get a day. This time tomorrow, you are back in sober living.
Holy crap! Oh my God! I put my family in danger.
This is on you.
If I don't deal with this, then it could be worse next time.
First of all, it's very difficult to talk about this movie without comparing it to Beautiful Boy. Because they are both essentially wrestling with the same material. It's about a parent trying to deal with their child's addiction. Whereas in Beautiful Boy, it's a true story, and Steve Carell plays the parent trying to help his son and ultimately realizing that at times you can't help him if he doesn't want the help. In this one, Julia Roberts plays the mom, and her son comes home from rehab. Now, the difference between this and Beautiful Boy, the big difference is Beautiful Boy is based on a real-life true story. And I'm sure there are some dramatic liberties taken, but this one is a manufactured story. I mean, it's a story about real issues, which is about chemical dependencies and how what causes them to get there and what's been problematic in the past and what can be done and what can't be done. While I'm not a big fan of the based on a true story moniker, if it's a true story, even if it's a little contrived, that's okay because sometimes the truth is contrived. When you write a story and you kind of create it out of the ether, when it has moments that are contrived, that just kind of counts as a strike against the film. And that was what I felt at times with Ben is Back. There's parts of the movie that I thought, oh, that doesn't seem natural. That doesn't seem like it could happen, or it happens in a very safe, creative environment. It's sort of like, to use a weird example, if you remember that movie Outbreak about 25 years ago with Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo, where they were fighting an Ebola-type virus, if you compare that movie to Contagion, which is the Steven Soderbergh film about a super virus that starts to kill people, the Soderbergh film, even though they're both contrived, the Soderbergh film felt like it had much more of a basis in reality. It felt much more like it was really could happen, whereas that movie Outbreak, it kind of goes off the rails and becomes a Hollywood picture at the end where it doesn't feel real. It maybe works for the dramatic moments, but it doesn't feel as real. And I felt that way with Ben is Back, that there's parts of it that I said, well, that feels like it's something that was created in a writer's mind rather than being pulled from the headlines, so to speak. And I guess that's an unfair comparison, and that's an unfair thing to say, but I couldn't help but I couldn't escape that feeling. I mean, the performances are good. Julia Roberts does a great job in the role. And Lucas Hedges, who's also in Boy Erased this year, and he got a nomination for Manchester by the Sea a couple years ago, he does a fine job in the film as Ben, you know, the addict. What this movie also doesn't do is it tries to address how he got addicted to pills, but it just sort of swerves into that and kind of sideswipes it and then runs away from that issue. My thought was either deal with it head on and make it part of the story or don't. There's a throwaway moment where it feels like it's biting off a little more than they can chew in this movie. So, I mean, in the end, this is a fine family drama, but it just seemed a lesser film after Beautiful Boy, because Beautiful Boy is so stark and impactful and real, because that's what happens, and it's not a neat movie. It doesn't tie things up. Beautiful Boy doesn't, but that's kind of the reality of life. And this one, I don't know, there are times that it just felt like it's trying to deal with a real issue that is plaguing the country, And it also shows that it's like Beautiful Boy, it's not something that just happens in the slums or in the bad neighborhoods. It happens to everybody. It does kind of falter, especially near the end when they're trying to wrap it up from a story perspective. I will say that Ben Is Back kind of rocks, because it's worth seeing.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk a little bit about Vox Lux right now. Natalie Portman stars as a pop star whose troubled past continues to cause problems in her personal life.
It's a weird world we live in. And the way I've chosen to live my life,
please don't follow me,
goes against some people's views on things.
Do you mind if I get a quick picture with you?
Mom, I'm worried about you. You're worried about me.
I'm scared.
This film has a very interesting start. It starts off right before the turn of the century, where there's a school shooting. And that's topical. And as that scene plays out, which is kind of hard to watch, when that scene plays out, it did make me realize that you're probably going to get a couple more school shooting movies coming up in the next couple of years, because that's certainly in the general national discussion. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see these kind of movies start showing up. And I was interested in how they were handling it, because it's a story about this kid that survives it and how she deals with the grief and how she channels it into doing some music. But then it abandons that, which was, like I said, it was a difficult watch part of the movie, but it was interesting at least, and dealing with stuff that I don't think has been put onto screen quite yet. And then it turns into her becoming a pop star. And then that movie goes completely off the rails and turns into absolute hot garbage. Because then it becomes a movie about navigating the music world and the pop music world. And you bring in Jude Law as the producer or the manager who's trying to help them get through the music industry, and then goes ahead in time to where Natalie Portman's the star. And a lot of it is just, it's just her being an absolute hot mess of a person, and not even in a Star Is Born kind of way. I mean, A Star Is Born was a movie that does show the pitfalls of being a famous person when you have a lot of adoration and money thrown at you and the means to really live a decadent lifestyle, but it can also show the downside to that. I thought The Star Is Born at least managed that. It's not my kind of movie, but this one is just almost narcissistic in that approach. And does Natalie Portman do a good job acting? Yeah, absolutely. But it's, you know, it reminds me, I was once on a jury, a murder trial, and they were going to put the guy on the stand who was accused. And everyone was waiting for the big Hollywood moment where he's going to say things, either exonerate himself or, you know, make himself look more guilty. And then the guy takes a stand, and he was just a horrible witness. He was kind of incompetent and incoherent, and he barely answered the question. It was the most anticlimactic thing, because we've been trained to see something happen like that on screen. And it was kind of disappointing, because he didn't make a good witness. And I feel like that's with this movie, where you're like, oh, it's in this contrived format where, you know, you can put this great actress and give her some great words on a script to have her say, and you can have real zingers and dissect the nature of celebrity and how the entertainment press views them and uses them. And you could really put that together, but then she just goes out there and just kind of farts out of her mouth. And that's basically what the movie is. It's pretentious garbage that is masquerading as a music video version of a movie. And it's trying to be significant, and it's trying to be relevant, and it's trying to show the struggle that celebrities have, but I have no sympathy for them. And artistically and creatively, it's vacuous and really just unappealing. So I'm going to have to say that Vox Lux totally sucks.
It sucks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Divide and Conquer, The Rise and Fall of Roger Ailes, The Box Office, and the Home Cinema Roundup featuring Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mike Hewitt here. From perseverance, rugged individualism, and self-reliance, to the state of being coddled offended at the drop of a hat in Reliant, all in the historical measure of the blink of an eye. But how they do that so quickly and why? And what's more important, can it be undone? What's waiting at the end of the tracks? Is there something better for a cultured, gender-neutral society? An economic system driven by entitlement rather than how much was earned? Think about it. In 2018, a song from 1944, Baby It's Cold Outside, caused a public stir, while many rise to angrily defend a girl who thinks she's a boy with seemingly greater rights than a coach and the entire sports team. Where does it stop? Can it be stopped? Folks, should it be stopped? Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's do the final review, which is Divide and Conquer, The Rise and Fall of Roger Ailes. This documentary looks at the rise of Roger Ailes from a television producer to the head of Fox News and his fall from grace amid sexual misconduct allegations.
Roger was invested in creating a myth about who he was. He wanted something like Fox News for years.
Fox News became the number one cable network.
Everybody has an agenda, he used to say. See what they're after, and then manipulate them.
He used his talent to build something that drove a wedge.
Gotta get you outraged.
The people running the country, he put them there.
I said, what's next for you? And he said, still have a president to pick.
This certainly seems to be the year for political documentaries. I mean, you had the one with Michael Moore. He did one about Trump and the age of Trump, and you had Dinesh D'Souza do one about the age of Trump, and you had that one, I forget what it was called, but it was this guy who had was trying to figure out what caused people to vote for Trump. And so there's a lot of dissection that's going on in the political documentary realm. These movies tend not to do terribly well, and I think part of the reason for that is now more than ever, we're inundated with political stuff. I'm on the radio. One of the things that's great about my show is that I usually don't talk politics because you want politics, you can get it anywhere else on the dial. I mean, politics is all over the place on radio. Not many people are talking about movies. Now, sometimes I have to talk about politics because it's part of the movies. But the politics, it's all over. It's on the TV. It's on the computer. It's on the internet. It's on Facebook. It's on your phone. It's everywhere you turn. So I think these movies, why they are allowing filmmakers to vent a bit and to work through some things, these movies tend not to be big money makers because people get enough politics at this point. You know, a lot of these movies tend to be essentially the equivalent of a Facebook argument. This is absolutely not a positive look at Roger Ailes. So know that going in, depending on where you fall on the political spectrum. If you're a big fan of Roger Ailes and how he worked as a basically a media consultant for everyone from Nixon through Reagan, and if you are a big fan of Fox News and you haven't, if you watch that all the time, you're probably not going to like some of the things they say, because it does get very critical of Fox News. So just know that going in. But I will say this. I'm going to give this movie credit. It does get different voices in there. I mean, Glenn Beck is one of the big interviewees on this movie. And yeah, he was a never-Trumper originally, but he's kind of thrown himself in line behind Trump. But hearing him talk about what it was like on Fox News and his interaction with Roger Ailes, I think that's valuable, because this isn't just a bunch of liberal talking heads. You actually, and they also actually talk to people who worked with Ailes in development of Fox News and some of his other business interests who are allies of him. And I think that works, as opposed to just, you know, like the Michael Moore, Dinesh D'Souza documentaries, where they just come in with a complete political bent. And yes, this is critical of Fox News, and this is critical of developing a conservative news station. And you do kind of have to take that with a grain of salt, because, I mean, they do kind of make it seem almost, yeah, smoky backroom type thing. It has a lot of connective tissue with the movie Vice when that movie comes out in a couple weeks. It might be an interesting pairing. I watched both of those right next to each other, so they kind of covered similar ground. But what's interesting about it is what Ailes did to build Fox News. And they make it look like he was some draconian individual who had this plan all the way going back to Nixon. I'm sure he had seeds of it, but they even kind of swerve into some things that were not big successes initially on Fox News. It took a while for Fox News to become what it is. And you get to see the progression in there. And that's what I kind of found interesting about this from a nonpartisan view. It also is interesting showing how he came to lose his power and what happened with him. And the sexual misconduct allegations. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care if you're conservative or liberal. That sexual misconduct stuff's pretty awful. I mean, it felt like by the way a lot of these firsthand accounts of people, seemed like he was the equivalent of Harvey Weinstein, how he was using his power to play around a little bit, play the field, and how he manipulated his stars and some of the people in front of the camera. And the people that we don't even know about. They talk about that in this, that there's a lot of that. And that's, again, that's neither Democrat, Republican. That's not conservative or liberal. You get powerful people, especially, from a gender-oriented thing, where you got a powerful man, it's going to wield his power over women. And that happens. That is a man problem. That is not a conservative or liberal problem. And that's, I think, what saves this movie from just kind of spiraling out of control into a liberal diatribe, is that it is looking at the power structure of Fox News and how that became very problematic and how it eventually crumbled and how fast it crumbled. So I'm going to have to say, put your politics aside and check it out, because it's interesting. Divide and Conquer, The Rise and Fall of Roger Ailes kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk really quickly about the box office. Last week, it was kind of a repeat from the week before. You know, Ralph Breaks the Internet came in first. The Grinch is pushing back up, because it's right before Christmas. It's a great run for Christmas. It's doing better. I think it was timed better than, it's a better movie than the Nutcracker movie, which is, that's out of the top 10. But yeah, the Grinch came in and it's cracked over 200 million and, it's doing well in its run. It's probably going to do well through the end of the year. Creed 2 is still doing well. Fantastic Beasts, and that's actually not performing terribly well. Overseas is where it's going to make its money. That's where it's going to be a $1 billion movie. The Possession of Hannah Grace was the only new movie last week, and that came in at number 7 with about $6.5 million. Robin Hood is tanking, and then Green Book actually had a nice hold, just under $4 million, hitting the top 10. So you're going to see a lot of those same films in a lot of those same places this week, because Schindler's List is being re-released in the theaters. I don't think it's going to make that big of a box office impact. And then everything else is essentially what you had last week is what you're stuck with this weekend. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. spotlight this week is on Mission Impossible Fallout. The latest Mission Impossible movie sees Tom Cruise trying to stop a terrorist nuclear attack.
Solomon Lane escaped in Paris.
And now the world is at risk.
This is the CIA's mission. You use a scalpel. I prefer a hammer.
This is a bad idea.
Is it ever a good one? Honestly.
He's not just some observer. He's an assassin.
I don't trust anybody outside of this room.
You go rogue, he's been authorized to hunt you down and kill you.
I give a lot of credit to the Mission Impossible movies. These are wildly entertaining. They are incredibly well done. And they are some of the best action movies you're going to see. And I give credit to Tom Cruise. I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan, but I will give credit where credit's due. Tom Cruise makes these movies better because of his dedication to practical stunts. You know, I really don't care whether he's actually hanging off a helicopter or not, but I give him a heck of a lot of props for doing it at his age, or any age. But he's doing some incredible stunts, and that's kind of, this is the kind of stuff you can't really fake. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, no, you can make it look good with computers. No, I mean, there's an organic feel to seeing him in these situations that I don't think can quite be manipulated authentically with pixels. And that's what makes these Mission Impossible movies so great. And I hope that there's somebody who takes up that reign as Tom Cruise gets older, that people will start doing the practical stunts. Because, I mean, if you're doing an Avengers movie with laser beams and flying people and everything, that's fine. But if you're getting a real person and putting them on an airplane or a helicopter and hanging them off the edge, do it with a real person. That's impressive. And it looks good. And it makes it worth seeing in the theater. This is one of those movies, one of the few movies every year, there's a handful of them, that if you didn't see it in the theater on the big screen, you missed out. This was one that looked fantastic on the big screen. It was worth seeing in large format. Now, if you've got a 4K television and a 4K player, you can get a good version of it, but it's not the same as having an entire wall of the screen. So it's still good on video, still worth seeing, but you miss a little bit when it's not on the big screen. Still, this is a fun movie. This is a fun franchise. These, I wouldn't say they keep getting better, but from 4, which was Ghost Protocol, on, these have all been fantastic movies and really some of the best stuff that Tom Cruise has ever done. So I'm going to have to say that Mission Impossible Fallout still totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
Other releases on DVD and Blu-ray this week include The Nun, Operation Finale, and the TV shows Westworld Season 2 and The Handmaid's Tale Season 2, as well as the Doctor Who Peter Davison years, Season 1 of those. And that is it for this week. I need to go. When I come back next week, we're going to actually have new movies in the wide release, including Mortal Engines and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, as well as The Mule. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
A 7-year-old girl who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border with her father died after being taken into custody by the U.S. Border Patrol. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen tells Fox News what she knows about this case.
What happened here was they were about 90 miles away from where we could process them. They came in such a large crowd that it took our Border Patrol folks a couple times to get them all. We gave immediate care. We'll continue to look into the situation. But again, I cannot stress how dangerous this journey is when migrants choose to come here illegally.
Investigations are ongoing after dozens of bomb threats targeted news outlets, government buildings, banks, libraries, and schools across the nation. The FBI believe the threats stem from a mass email where an unknown writer demands Bitcoin in exchange for safety. Other threats have also been reported in Canada and as far away as New Zealand. Follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. This is USA Radio News.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100, or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle dud sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
When pros go to the Home Depot, they want to get what they need quickly and get back to the job. That's why pros count on the Home Depot's free in-store pickup. Online orders, ready in as little as 2 hours to grab the moment they arrive. That saves time. Pro Extra members save even more with exclusive offers and benefits. Time-saving free in-store pickup, extra benefits, and exclusive offers for Pro Extra members. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
And Obamacare deadlines arrived, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The deadline to buy or make changes in health insurance on the Affordable Care Act's marketplace is this Saturday, December 15th. People in most states can sign up on the federally run marketplace, healthcare.gov. After Saturday, only people who qualify for a special enrollment period will be allowed to sign up or make any changes in their coverage for 2019. Qualifying life events for that would include getting married, having a baby, or losing coverage. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Apple is expanding in Austin, Texas. The company announced a $1 billion investment to build a new campus. Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott says this is a great deal for the city.
This truly elevates Austin as one of the premier technology hubs in the entire world, and we're proud that it's located right in the heart of Texas.
This is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
How can folks in Hollywood unite us instead of dividing us? Well, one person we can look to as an example of someone who did that was actually Aretha Franklin. Meredith Oakes is an entertainment writer. She also has a new book out titled Aretha, The Queen of Soul, A Life in Photographs. In that book, one of the things she discusses is how Franklin was very much into politics, but united the country.
There are these people who are able to rise above the political fracas, even though she was very involved in politics from the beginning. She was her father was best friends with Martin Luther King, and organized the Detroit March, where King gave his speech, his I Have a Dream speech. He gave it a few different places in various forms, but that was like the final draft before he went and did it. The following in a couple weeks, the famous one. So she's involved in civil rights from the time she's a kid, and she was openly political, and she performed at the inaugurations and inaugural events of three Democratic presidents, and yet it was George W. Bush who gave her the Medal of Freedom, and she graciously accepted it. She was that kind of person. I mean, there have been other celebrities who said, nah, you know, I think I'll wait till there's another president before I get mine. But that wasn't her. She really, truly put country above party. And there is this underlying faith about her.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.